This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
What?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What's Eisen?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Are you slightly offended that you were only a $400 clue?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Bills head coach Joe Brady, Academy Award winner Casey Affleck, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio Sirius, XM Channel 80. We say hello to one and all. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Phone lines are already lit. I always appreciate that. We'll have a lot of time to talk on a What's More Likely Friday around four guests. Hour three is particularly tight. Highly trafficked. Joe Brady, the new head coach of the Buffalo Bills, is zooming in. And then Casey Affleck's been on this show before, but back in the day on the phone, he's coming in person. Diehard Pats fan, man. We're going to break down Super Bowl 60 from the New England point of view with Casey Affleck, an Academy Award winner in hour number three. Two guys from the Senior Bowl. First up is going to be Daniel Jeremiah in 18 minutes time, and then Tom Pelissero getting us ready for Super Bowl week. Chris Brockman, good to see you in
hey,
your
Rich.
Spot.
Good morning, my friend.
Good to see you, Jay Felly. How are you?
What's up, Rich?
Is Del 240 up in San Francisco?
Yeah, where he's, is he? Where do we somewhere.
Know? Okay. PJ, good to see you, bud.
Wow,
how are you, bud?
How you guys doing?
Candles lit over there. We've got too much time on our hands between now and when the toes meet in the football, when it's all kicking off in Super Bowl 60. And 1 week from today will be 2 days away from the game. Fully talked out. I mean, 100% talked out with a better sense of what we kind of don't know, I'd imagine, which is what's with Drake May's shoulder? You know what I mean? Like, I
don't love it.
Well, it's because it's not 100%, to use the phrase that we always hear. And we've heard Mike Vrabel basically say, yeah, not everyone's 100%. And I guess this is the difference between him and the Belichick era, because, you know, Bill wouldn't even countenance it. He just stared daggers at you
and the
injury report will be out, you know. And then he'll list 19 million people as questionable, and there's only a 53-man roster, and you're like, okay, I get it.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Why is Andre Tippett listed as questionable?
That's right.
He hasn't played in two decades.
That's right. John Hanna, questionable.
Steve Grogan?
Like what?
Wait a minute. Tony Eason, he started your first Super Bowl. Why is he listed on Super Bowl 60? Okay.
Mike Haynes is probable.
Day by day.
It was the first practice in New England yesterday since the AFC Championship game that left Drake May less than 100%. The play in question, I think, that left him grasping at his throwing shoulder is Talanoa Hufanga tackling him on a 13-yard gain in the third quarter. That's what everyone's kind of pegging this.
Yeah, thing. May kind of awkwardly slides, and Hufanga kind of falls on top of him, and then May gets up and kind of reaches real quick, and you're not sure if he's fixing his jersey or if something twinged.
Cost them the ball game, didn't it? Wait a minute. No. So May was out there practicing yesterday in a limited fashion, is what it's being called. Nobody threw a ball while the media was able to watch. So no Joshua Dobbs, no Pastrnak throwing, no cutlets, no Tommy DeVito cutlets.
No cutlets.
And Drake May met with the media afterwards, and this was the back and forth about his shoulder.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, got out there moving around a good bit today, and I was able to do some of the jog through, so feeling good, and looking forward to be ready to go. And this is the game you dream of playing in. So looking forward to, you know, getting out there and getting a chance to play in the Super Bowl.
Were you limited at all, or do you anticipate being limited moving
forward? I'm just, you know, trying to do whatever I can to, you know, get back to 100%. And I think a lot of people in the locker room would say the same thing. Having a 2-week break, you know, it's nice to maybe rest a little more and get back to get to know the Seahawks as good as I can. And from there, looking forward to getting, you know, out to practice and trying to transfer that to live, you know, game reps.
Did I throw today?
Yeah, I mean, we went through normal practice, so you know, did some reps and did some things where I'm looking forward to trying to get some more reps here and there and feel it out.
Okay.
Every year it's somebody's body part, right?
Well, let's just put it in perspective. He's not walking around New York City in a walking boot like Tom Brady did one year and got out of the boot. This is different. I'm just wondering, can you show guys, Don and Hoskins, can you show a screen grab or a freeze frame of the last moment of his press conference? This is RES Consulting at work right here. Because as you know, the best thing about us is it's about us. And we're experts at taking a look at this sort of thing. Mm. Is his left shoulder higher than his right? Is he favoring? Is he favoring his left shoulder to get the, you know, bear the weight?
Yeah,
or is he able to lean on the podium on his right shoulder, which means he's fine? What do you think?
Great question.
Well, I mean, look at the face too.
The face is giving, you know, this, you know, I'm not 100%. Yeah. For sure.
Or it's a very De Niro Goodfellas looking face.
A little bit. A lot of weight bearing on the left there.
You're talking to me.
I don't know. You know, I mean, he doesn't look 100%.
He admitted as such. He's not. It doesn't. And
what are we doing?
And we're waiting what we're doing.
Yeah, I know.
We're waiting.
This is what happens when there's 2 weeks.
And he clearly needs to be brought along, and that's what this bye week is for. They'll ramp him up. He'll be out there. He'll be playing in Super Bowl 60. We'll sit here and wonder what we should look for in the first quarter of that game to see if there's anything problematic. And I'll tell you what the problematic thing's going to be is if they don't protect him against this pass rush that gets after people and sits Sam Darnold down for second halves of regular season games because it's over. Game's already over. It's a wrap. You know? And his legs are fine, and he may be running for his life and picking up first downs and scoring touchdowns anyway, just like he's done through the first 3 weeks of these playoffs. I'll tell you who I would be more concerned about than Drake May's shoulder is Will Campbell's ability to protect him.
Yeah, how's Will doing?
You know what I mean? Like, that's it.
Uh-huh.
That's it, because it doesn't matter if he's limited or that or what have you. If he's constantly getting hammered in the pocket, if he can't, let's put it this way. The Patriots' MO in these playoffs have been slow first quarters. The other team has by middle of the second quarter, a distinct sense of momentum going in their favor. And the one thing that Justin Herbert didn't do that the other two quarterbacks the Patriots have faced in the playoffs did do is he didn't just pull the pin on a football and flip it up in the air deep in his own end and hand it to the Patriots defense as C.J. Stroud did, or chest pass it as Jared Stidham did.
I mean, they didn't voluntarily do that. They were forced to do so by
they were
intense pressure.
They had intense pressure in their face. They had intense pressure in their face.
Yeah.
And if Sam Darnold has intense pressure in his face and does this in Super Bowl 60, that would be three games in a row.
Then we'll have a game.
And all I'm saying is what we need to be taking a look at in the first quarter of this game are the Patriots starting slow again? Is Drake May under pressure again? Is Seattle going to be a team that has a lead in the second quarter against the Patriots again? And will they be able to avoid the mistakes that the Texans made and the Broncos made? And will they be able to get after Sam Darnold like they got after Justin Herbert in game one? That's basically what I'm looking for in the first quarter of Super Bowl 60. Not Drake Mays throwing children. I'm not going to be concerned about that. Because he'll get out there and throw. And, you know, and if he's hit, that's one way that that shoulder injury could start barking a little bit more. And if not, Ramondre Stevenson can take the pressure off. Travion Henderson can take the pressure off. Josh McDaniels can take the pressure off. And his offensive line can keep the pressure off. 1 week from today, we'll also be talking about who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Canton class. And we'll be talking about that moment when the class is introduced and Belichick throws his crutches away and he strolls out on that stage anyway.
Oh, come on. That would be awesome.
I'm rooting for.
Oh, let's go.
Little Seth Rollins.
Oh, that's Bill Belichick's music.
Wait a minute. Don Van Natta was finally wrong with Wickersham?
Unlikely.
Correct. On a What's More Likely Friday?
Unlikely.
Not likely.
Unlikely. Those guys are wrong.
Mike Vrabel was asked about the snub of all snubs, the mother of all snubs.
Mike, any thoughts about Bill Belichick not getting into the Hall of Fame in the first place?
Oh, I'm sure Bill will get in. I can't, you know, I mean, again, that's something that's well out of my control. And I know that the time here with Bill were 8 great years. And with the teammates and everybody else that we had, and I'm sure that Bill will get into to Canton.
So I'm doing the math here. 68 regular season wins for Vrabel, right?
Okay.
And 5 playoff wins for Vrabel, including 3 this year.
One more to come.
Ha, attaboy. I like your moxie, sir. And so that is, let's do them, carry the 1. 73. Okay, now let's do some other math. What's 333 minus 73? That's a 0. It's
260.
260. He needs 260 more wins in his career. And he needs to win this Super Bowl and 5 more to match Bill Belichick's final record. And Mike Vrabel is widely considered the favorite for Coach of the Year. I think 1 week from today, we'll be talking about the Super Bowl 60 American Football Conference coach as the Coach of the Year, I believe. And I said this when I was on Dan Patrick's show today. Just to put a button on this.
I saw that. You were good.
Thank you. I appreciate that since you were sitting right over there and I was there. You were there. I was here. I was here. You were there. Dan was there. I was here. I'm better than you. That just mentioning Belichick's coaching resume numbers in support while you're just talking about it. Because I was hanging around on a, you know, poker night last night with the guys there talking about it, just like 333 all-time coaching wins and 31 playoff wins and 8 Super Bowls, 6 as a head coach, 2 as an assistant. And you start saying it and it's just like, why am I even saying these? Like, what's the point of it?
Why is this a conversation?
You're like, why do I even have to? It's just eye test. And a couple of voters apparently applied a smell test to it. And it's just insane. And it's embarrassing at the end of the day. Yep. It really is. It's just like, how is he not a first ballot Pro Football Hall of Famer? And
it's Eric Mangini's fault.
Well, for
snitching.
Okay. And so Bill got the stitches, is what you're saying. Okay.
Let's be real.
All right.
Mike Shanahan was pissed. He didn't think of it first.
I know.
That should tell you all you need to know.
I got it. I just find it so funny that, you know, you're just making the same arguments I do about the University of Michigan.
That's absolutely not true.
Okay.
Absolutely not. All right. True.
Same thing.
It's a different argument.
Is that right?
I mean, that's what he said.
That's no. I turn to you as the arbiter for this sort of thing.
I mean, he's very convinced.
It's just nuts. 1 week from today, I'm hoping to hear Bob Kraft's name mentioned. But the problem is, again, he's lumped in with the Belichick vote and the vote for Ken Anderson, Elsie Greenwood, and Roger Craig. I'd love to see Roger Craig up on that stage in San Francisco in front of the home fans. And then Brady, we'll just got to hold our breath for when he goes in, right?
Probably never.
What? We'll never hold our breath for him, or he'll never get in?
He's never going to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing is nuts. But Drew Brees, Larry Fitzgerald, we should hear those names. I'm wondering if we're going to hear like the other wide receiver names that have been waiting.
Well, it's Reggie Wayne. It's big game Torrey Holt.
Right.
You know, Hines Ward should already have been in. It's like.
And then we'll find out. We'll have the answer 1 week from today, Stafford or May.
Yep.
You know, is Josh McDaniels going to be the assistant coach of the year? Because that is an award that's up.
Yeah, Puka, JSN, or
is JSN? Is it entirely,
offensive player of the year? Is
I'm wondering. Have we ever had a Super Bowl in which coach of the year, MVP, offensive player of the year are all represented in the game? That's in the ether right now. Drake May, MVP, coach of the year, Mike Vrabel, offensive player of the year, Jackson Smith and Jigba. I'm wondering if we've ever seen something like that.
I think 2007 was Brady, Bill, and Brady was also offensive player of the year.
I mean, I know they've come close in the NBA.
That's off the top of my head, but then they didn't even win.
Then they didn't win.
Yeah.
Which is what's keeping Bill out of the Hall of Fame, I think.
Right, of course.
Like, we forgot about Bill's Super Bowl losses, Chris.
Oh, man.
Those leave a mark, man.
Jeez. If he had only not benched Malcolm Butler against the Eagles.
At any rate,
stupid.
That's 1 week from today. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Daniel Jeremiah is going to join us from the Senior Bowl. What is going on down there? What are his thoughts about Super Bowl 60? The Combine, by the way, is just around the corner as well.
Yeah, it is.
So is this commercial break here on this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. O'Reilly Veriscan can identify the most likely problem with just one scan. If you need help, O'Reilly Auto Parts can recommend a shop for you. Don't ignore a check engine, ABS, or maintenance light. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today. A free service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Daniel Jeremiah here on The Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience has returned. We're one big simulcast family on Disney Plus and the ESPN app. The headline from the Senior Bowl is what, Daniel Jeremiah? What is it?
I would say it's a good edge rush group. And I think that's going to be kind of the larger draft class. A lot of times down here in Mobile, it's a little microcosm of what the class as a whole will look like.
Yes, sir.
So that to me, and man, it's been some good edge rushers. And Derek Moore, your kid from Michigan, has been as good as anybody.
Oh, yeah. My boy Cooper showed me. Who did he punk? The tackle from Miami?
The big tackle from Miami. Yeah. He was about 6'9", 350 pounds, and he flatbacked him. Yeah. So there's some exciting edge guys to kind of find in this draft. And I think really day two, if you got a bunch of day two picks, it's really good value you can find amongst that group. Quarterback wise, it's just been kind of okay. We've had years before where obviously we've had the big dogs here. We've had Josh Allen here. We've had Herbert here just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
We had Penix and Bo Nix. That group is that talent is not here at that position, which is going to inform what happens, as we get through free agency, and you'll start hearing names like Malik Willis, and does somebody want to trade for Mac Jones? And, that's going to lead to an interesting market there. And I think Sam Darnold finding the success he's found on his fifth team is going to, inform some teams that, hey, you don't necessarily have to always get these guys through the draft.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to turn that light behind you off, actually.
Hold on. Hold on.
Here we go. Let's see if we can just flip that one off. No, not that one. The other one. You know, he's going to do that.
It's got the camera that follows him around.
No, my God. You turned the wrong light off. He doesn't know.
Nope. That's better.
Is that better?
How's that?
Is that better?
How's that?
It's slightly better, but we mean the other
one. The other light, yeah, the one behind you, but now it's going to be...
Oh, that one.
Yes.
You won't even see me.
No, that's why you keep the other light on, Daniel.
Well, we're waiting.
Let's see if this works. Let's see if this works.
I feel much better.
Believe it or not.
I should be talking to Delilah.
This is all good. No, this is good.
Delilah after dark.
This is good. You got like a Harvey Dent thing going on a little bit here,
Delilah.
Which is fine. Okay, very good. Yeah. Careful. Don't sing on the...
You don't want them getting on you about humming a melody, DJ. It's the worst thing ever.
All right, now turn the other light on, the first one you turned off. This is the Emmy Award material here.
It probably is.
This is going to work.
I think
this is the winner.
I think this is going to be
this great. Is going to be the win.
this is
for the win. FTW. Yeah, baby.
Okay.
How about that?
Much better. All right.
Okay.
So jumping into it. Now we've got your mock draft, your first mock draft, right? We got
that's out there.
Okay. Here we go. Pop it up if you don't mind. You've got Fernando Mendoza is going to be a Raider at the end of the day. Not concerned about him going to a spot where he's not protected. The Raiders don't care. They're going to just got to get the guy and win your first overall. Is that what you believe?
Yeah, and I think the Jets would effort with all the picks that they've accumulated to try and see if they could pry that pick away from the Raiders. And the buzz down here amongst all the teams is there's no chance the Raiders would trade off of that pick.
Would trade up for Fernando Mendoza?
I 100% think they would.
No kidding.
100%.
Whoa.
Yeah,
but they're not ready either.
No, but it's not going to. It's irrelevant because they're not going to pass up an opportunity to get Mendoza. I don't think the Raiders would do that.
So Mendoza has people have fallen in that deep in love with Fernando Mendoza atop this draft.
Oh, yeah, I think the way he finished everything up, and I mean, Rich, like to me, when you look at how he did on some big third downs, you look at how he did in the red zone, you look at how he did in big moments after getting drilled. We talked about that on Sunday,
right?
Just how he's reacted to that. So you get accuracy, you get toughness, you get somebody who's been big in big moments. That's a pretty good place to start. Oh, by the way, he's 6'5". He's big. You saw on the big run, touchdown run, he can move around enough. And I don't know that there's ever been a quarterback more equipped to not be distracted by Las Vegas than Fernando Mendoza.
Okay. So the Jets are going to try and it's not going to, because I honestly thought, DJ, that the Jets getting picks in next year's draft is when they're going to be targeting their quarterback. And that may happen anyway. But you're saying it's because it won't be for a lack of trying to have the Raiders move off of Mendoza.
Yeah, I mean, this is just kind of that's the buzz down here was that, hey, the Jets, I mean, I'm not saying they would trade all their picks that they've accumulated. But, you know, they're this close to being able to get a guy that they would, you know, try and make an effort to do that. But it would be a moot point because they're not going to move off of it, that the Raiders seem to be pretty in love with Fernando Mendoza, did their homework. Obviously, we saw who was in attendance for the national championship game. And when you're in a position like this, there's a, you know, it looks like a really intriguing group coming up next year, but there's no guarantee you're going to be in the right position to be able to get that guy. So right now you're sitting on a guy that has all the, you know, the measurables, has the intangibles. I don't see the Raiders listening to any of those offers.
Okay. So if we put the top 10 up once again, then you would have, and we'll put a pin in the Jets for a moment as well. You've got the same, because everybody's putting Jeremiah Love and basically Sharpie for the Chiefs. You think the Saints would jump the line for him? Is that what you're thinking right now?
There is a lot of excitement around Tyler Shuck and seeing, listening to folks down here as well. Talking to some guys around that organization and in that organization, there's an excitement there and they want to give him some more toys to play with. And that's the best toy in the draft, in my opinion, is Jeremiah Love. So I know it's going to be popular. I've been, you know, beating the drum for the Chiefs to add a dynamic back to kind of help solve some of their problems that they've haven't been able to overcome with teams playing this umbrella coverage across the league. It really started because of their success and limiting explosive plays, and they haven't had a run game to totally capitalize on those looks to help Patrick Mahomes. So I've been, you know, championing them getting a back. I would love to see Jeremiah Love there, no pun intended. But in this case, if I'm the Saints, Jeremiah Love's one of the, you know, top two or three players in this draft class, and you've got a chance to add him. You've got your tackles in place. They've got two first round tackles. that with Banks and Fuaga. Now you've got the quarterback, man. Now you could say, okay, now we add this running back in here who not only is a runner, but you know, they know what it's like to see backs that can really catch the ball out of the backfield in that city watching that team. And this dude can catch the heck out of it.
So just looking at your top 10 again, you got two offensive tackles. You obviously have the quarterback going first and you've got a running back there at eight and everybody else's defense. So that you just think that this is the way the top 10 is going to go. Edge, line, it's basically line play. You know, I know Sonny Styles is listed as a linebacker, but man, is he just absolutely
everywhere.
Right, right. And we saw what Bane did in the national championship game and then also in all those games leading up to it for Miami. That's the way you see the top 10?
And yeah, I mean, keep in mind, Rich, an exercise that you're doing when at the time, I think there were four or five teams had yet to hire a head coach. We have not had free agency.
Got it.
Subject to change, much like the lighting in my hotel room.
You want to turn that light on behind you again or just moving on? Daniel Jeremiah here on the Rich Eisen Show. Moving on to your middle 10. So you think the Jets go shopping in the Columbus, Ohio store? You've got Arville Reese at 2 and then Carnell Tate at 16. They're going to, I mean, my gosh, it'll be all Buckeyes in that receiver room. Garrett Wilson coming back and Carnell Tate together. You like that?
Yeah, well, we've got mutual friends in the media business that are Jets fans, and they thought I was just trying to curry favor with this first mock draft,
right?
Because of the talent there. Look, Carnell Tate is one of the 10 best players in this draft. I was just looking at it historically as you play with scenarios, and you look at the JSNs and the Justin Jeffersons and, you know, Ibuka. We've seen a lot of these really, really good receivers have kind of landed in this area of the draft. So is he, you know, is that a dream scenario? Yeah, sure. But I still think it's possible because we see receivers, you know, just about every year you get a big time dude that lands in this area of the draft. So I think he's worthy of going much higher than that. And who knows? He could be sitting up there for the Cleveland Browns, right for the taking, somebody right down the road who would fill a need for them. And it wouldn't shock me at all if he went all the way up there. But we've just have a history of seeing some really, really talented receivers drop into this spot.
Yeah, and you've got Denzel Boston of Washington going to the Steelers 21st overall. What's the talk down there as to who the next quarterback there is going to be?
Well, the thought before the head coach was named, but that was probably it on Aaron Rodgers. You know, everybody, at least around the league, expected that was, you know, they're going to close that chapter. But then you hire Mike McCarthy and everybody's like, well, wait a second. There's obviously, you know, it wasn't the smoothest ride there, but they had so much success together and looking at the other options that are there. Maybe that door is still open, you know, for Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think anybody has a clear understanding of what direction they're going to go there. But I do know, and I've said this, you know, before he was hired, but there is some love and support in that building for Will Howard, you know, not just amongst guys who've been there, but, you know, from a coaching standpoint, but from a player standpoint, there's a lot of guys in that team that like him. And, you know, he's a 6th round pick. And, you know, how high are the expectations? Look, the guy won a national championship. He's big. He's strong. He can move around a little bit. He's someone that I think they would at least, you know, like to see what they have there.
And, you know, looking at your final picks, mock draft, again, for everyone at home, this is just a mock draft. We haven't had the real thing. You know, obviously, this is just a general sense of who you believe are in your top 32. But I do have to point out that you have the Patriots drafting 31st overall and the Seahawks 32nd overall. That must mean you believe the Seahawks are about to win Super Bowl 60. Daniel Jeremiah.
It depends. If the Seahawks win, yes, of course I knew. If they don't, then that's an editor issue.
Good one, you know? Sir. Blame the editor. Nice. Well, so yeah, then why do you believe? Let's break it down. That's my way of turning the page here. What's your thoughts on Super Bowl 60, DJ?
Well, I think they have the better roster, and that doesn't always, you know, mean that they're a team that's going to win. I think if you go back a few years ago and look at the San Francisco roster versus the Kansas City roster, I thought the San Francisco roster as a whole was better. But when you had Mahomes, you know, and Chris Jones and Kelsey, who can maximize and take that number of quality players and expand it because of how special they were in those moments, you know, that's to me is the Patriots way to try and win this game. I think Seattle will win, but if you're going to say what's the formula for the Patriots to win, it's Drake May making plays with, you know, with his legs as well as his arm. It's Milton Williams against Bradford as a matchup, I think heavily favors the Patriots. You know, what can he do? And then can Gonzalez find a way to take the ball away? I think those are their kind of three big difference makers. But I think as a whole with their roster, I think Sam Darnold has to just play a B game. If he plays his B level game and lets all the talent around him play, I think Seattle wins that game.
What's the coaching hire down there that everyone's talking about that we're not talking about in the media as a great fit, Daniel?
Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest, the hire that's gotten the most attention is not a head coaching hire. It's been Mike McDaniel with the Chargers. I don't know. I just think it's the excitement of you get those tackles back healthy that missed, you know, almost the entire season. In Slater's case, he did. But you get Slater and Alt, and you've got Hampton, who's got, you know, the size and the speed. And then you pair up Herbert with what he can do to expand an offense. And now you put the creativity of Mike McDaniel in the mix there. I think there's a, you know, there's a healthy intrigue there and excitement about what that can look like. So, you know, and maybe that's because people know I call Charger games, so they've brought that up with me. But yes, that's been the name that I've heard more than any other name.
So then who's in the draft that you think would fit for McDaniel, right? Like I was saying yesterday, getting an Achan type guy, obviously anybody would take an Achan type guy. But what do you think? Do they need somebody like him, or do you think the Chargers need another receiver? What do you think, DJ?
I think they're in pretty good shape with the skill positions, Rich. You know, when you look at Aronde Gasson Jr., what he did at the tight end position, who's really athletic, mm-hmm. you have a two-headed monster. When, you know, the run game almost got disguised because the offensive line was so beat up.
Right.
So when you get Hampton, Kamani Vidal, like those are two really good young backs. Trey Harris, the rookie last year at Ole Miss, he played well. Ladd McConkey, I think he'll find a way to maximize him with his skill set. And then Quentin Johnston can really, really run. So to me, it's about getting the interior of the offensive line fixed. So, you know, to me, looking more in that direction to kind of fortify that with those tackles coming back, I think their skill, and he even said that at the press conference, he was excited about the guys they've accumulated over the last 2 years, and that's the core of their skill guys, all on rookie contracts, all costing you next to nothing.
All right. So then let's go here, if you're willing to take a bite at this. The team that everyone down there talking to you is saying, what's this team's malfunction? What is that, Daniel? Is there one or not really?
I look, the scouts can be a cynical bunch.
I know, that's why I'm asking you.
as someone who has been in that community.
Yes.
Just the Browns. I think all the information that came out on the Browns process, and, you know, I think that was, and that's easy because, you know, if it's the Browns or it's the Jets, it's kind of an easy punching bag.
Yes, sir.
But I think when it came out about writing essays and all that kind of stuff, that was that got a lot of attention.
Well, I mean, certainly some attention in my inbox was Wink Martindale being all teed up, and then he's looking for a staff. And then, oh, by the way, you're not calling the plays. I'll call the plays, says Aaron Glenn. And Wink's like, I'm not interested. Is that an accurate assessment, do you think? Or I don't turn you into an information man,
yeah.
But like, what are they saying down there about that?
DJ. Well, I mean, there's nobody left. It was like the Will Smith meme or whatever with AG kind of looking around, and there's just nobody on the coaching staff.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of bizarre to see in 1 year just to wipe out darn near everybody. And so, yeah, that's, that, you know, it's different. It's okay. A different way of doing things.
All right.
I will say this. I'll tell you this whenever we get a chance to get together in person again.
Yes, sir.
I was at the Atlanta airport connecting to come into Mobile. Mm-hmm. And I won't say the team, but there was an executive from a team. And I was kind of parked a couple terminals or a couple gates away from my gate because I just kind of want to get some stuff done. And this person parked it, didn't see me. I'm wearing a hat. Parked it right behind me and had a very personal conversation with somebody in the organization with all sorts of goodies. And I'm just sitting there going, like, I feel like I should not be sitting here. I need to get up and move. Wow. I should not be hearing this. at this point in time. So I would never air out that laundry publicly, but it was not the most, if we're going to grade like awareness, like a center being able to pick up a twist or a stunt, very low awareness in terms of having that type of a conversation in an airport two gates away from half the league is flying to Mobile.
Yeah. So it's like leaving a playbook lying around, pretty much similar to that. You want to say which conference it was?
AFC or NFC?
No, I know this game. I know how you guys.
No. We won't ask a follow up. I promise you, there are no follow ups. There are no follow ups.
AFC.
Okay, thank you. Ooh. Greatly appreciate
that. Does your team wear red?
No. I promise no follow ups. Yeah. I promise.
He's a man of his word,
though. Yeah. No, animal.
On behalf of everybody, I'm a bird.
Mammal. Oh, okay, great.
Mechanical bird. All right. Hey, I got to be honest though. We had Jeff Hafley on the show. I love that guy. I've never chatted with him. I guess I'll
and
just...
John Eric's good too. I mean, I like the fact those guys can't have history together and know each other really well. That's going to make life a lot easier.
Why?
because when you're scouting and you're building a free agency plan and a draft plan, you know what he likes in players, you know what fits in that, you know, especially the defensive scheme, what they're looking for. It's easy then to, you know, translate that message out to your staff and be able to say, okay, this is what we're looking for. Let's narrow this pool of players and this is what we need and where we go. I think having that connectivity does make life a lot easier.
Okay. So, crystal ball it then, because, you know, obviously I'll have you on post Super Bowl 60 and get things ready. What are we talking about going into the combine the most, do you think, Daniel?
Oh, gosh. Going into the combine the most?
Yeah.
I mean, I still think it's going to be, you know, just all these defensive linemen. You know, we're going to be talking about, you know, teams that have, in my opinion, we're going to come off of a Super Bowl that Seattle's just won with waves and waves of defensive linemen and pass rushers that have helped, you know, lead this dominating defense. And that's going to be the copycat, you know, formula. And fortunately, this draft has a ton of defensive linemen. So I think that'll be the topic of conversation.
All right, Daniel Jeremiah, great bed making. That makes, you know, that's a great insight. That's a great window into another man's soul. I like it. Are there hospital corners? Are you a hospital corner?
No, I did not go to that level. I will say though, I fall back in, like I haven't scouted since 2012 with a team. You know, I've been on the media side of things, but man, I come down here to the Senior Bowl and I just look up and I pull out my receipts and by golly, I've had Jimmy John's for dinner 5 nights in a row and I just slip right back into it, man.
What's the go-to order?
Turkey Tom, easy on the mayonnaise. It's not complicated.
You're a simple man, but with a very complex job. Daniel, thanks for the time, man. You're the best. I will see you in Indianapolis, if not soon.
I'm looking forward to it, man. We'll have fun.
All right. I don't know what the line was going in, but the table is intact at the end of the conversation. So did you take the under or the over? You took the under?
Yeah, you know what? That's not going to happen twice.
On the floor?
I was under on the table.
My goodness gracious.
Look like a hardcore wrestler.
A lot of people noticed the Nike shoebox holding up the laptop as a little bit of a cheat code for those that do a lot of these shows.
Foam roller on the ground.
The foam roller and the Toomey backpack. Tough. I don't know. It was tough to throw away both those, but I'm not getting shards in my back or in my hand. So those are both gone.
Daniel Jeremiah. It's not his first rodeo. Take care of yourself, bud. That's Daniel Jeremiah right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You can turn the lamps back on.
He threw away a Toomey backpack?
That's how you know it was bad.
Oof. Man.
Oh, we got to give him. By the way, just real quick. Everybody's saying Fernando Mendoza might not be ready enough for the Raiders, or the Raiders aren't ready enough for him, and is he really the real deal?
Anyone watch college football?
Daniel's like, hey, everybody here's saying the Jets are trying to move up for him.
Some package.
And the Raiders are like, pound sand.
Right. Sand, pound it.
Right. Is he worthy? Is he the first overall pick just because there's nobody else worthy of it? That's the conversation people are having about this kid. And everything I see while I watch him, he's a dream come true on and off. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's the thing. People think it's too good to be true, that it just won't work in the NFL.
Well, I mean, and everybody's just like, oh, he's definitely first overall, to the point where the Raiders are like, we're not even considering it. That is, that's a plot twist based on the conversations of people calling in here and I mean, I was just on DP's show this morning. Dan's show is just like, I don't think the Raiders should get him because he's not. They're not ready for him yet. He's afraid he's going to turn into David Carr.
Ooh.
Is what he said.
Yeah, I mean,
that he'll be sacked so much, and what? I mean,
can't protect him.
That's, but man. Daniel's like, yeah, everyone around here is like, yeah, the Jets want him. And they got the draft capital, and the Raiders can fill some roles with that.
Whoa.
Brando in New York.
That was a plot twist.
How about that? We may have some breaking news.
Okay, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So let's go to break, and then we'll break some news, hopefully, coming up.
Hi, it's Victor Hedman from the Tampa Bay Lightning. The NHL Stadium Series is coming to the Sunshine State. Watch as we take on the Boston Bruins in the 2026 NHL Stadium Series in Tampa. Catch all the action on Sunday, February 1st on ESPN. Visit NHL.com/Stadium Series for tickets and more information. That's NHL.com/Stadium Series, and I'll see you February 1st.
What is natural? When you read natural flavors on a label, most people don't realize it's often not real food at all. Those hidden ingredients quietly work against how your body feels and functions over time. That's why Just Ingredients uses only real food ingredients, so you know exactly what you're putting in your body. Stop guessing. Start knowing at justingredients.us.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is the breaking news? First, the breaking news drop here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Here it comes.
And Maria, I see.
Breaking news.
Chris, what do we have?
Yeah, according to Adam Schefter and others in the information business, the Minnesota Vikings have fired general manager Kwesi Adofo-Mensah.
Wow. Tom Pelissero is joining us in 9 minutes' time. Obviously, this is the first item up for bids.
Wow.
And
major stunner.
I cannot think, first blush, this is anything but, so Sam Darnold made the Super Bowl, huh? And we decided to go with 9, huh? And
you think that's it?
Does that?
I don't know. Again, I have no earthly idea.
Owner?
You're asking me, you know, if you're... it's my job to react.
Yeah.
React to it.
React to me.
I don't know if there's anything behind the scenes. I have no idea. As you know, we only see the tip of icebergs. Everything else lurks underneath. As the good ship Adofo-Mensah might have hit something, that we have no idea. But why are we firing a general manager the Friday of Super Bowl bye week after he just met with the media as well?
Yeah, he was at the Senior Bowl.
Right.
Him and Kevin O'Connell got extensions after last year.
Right, for good reason. They go 14-3 and unfortunately go 1-done. And then, again, this is something that I want to know more about now that Sam Darnold's made the Super Bowl. And we're about to ask Tom Pelissero, like, what did happen last year? What was their plan to try and keep Sam Darnold and also get J.J. McCarthy, whatever reps, preparedness that would make them comfortable on all these fronts and not rip this whole thing apart and start with McCarthy? Because at some point you've got to start with your freshly drafted quarterback. But that's just my first blush reaction is... okay, so season's over. If I'm not mistaken, they finished with a winning record, did they not? They actually finished above the Detroit Lions. Am I wrong about that? If that matters or not, but at this juncture, this is what we're doing now.
Yeah, they were 9-8 ahead of.
So they finished 9-8
ahead of the Lions, technically.
Right. Well, I mean, that's important because one's a last place schedule next year and one is not.
Yeah, end of the year on a 5-game winning streak.
And so.
Essentially, Detroit. Also.
So you watch general managers get hired other places and coaches get hired and fired in other places. And now you're going to go on a general manager search?
Because of that.
I don't know. What's happened between then and now? Sam Darnold made the Super Bowl.
Now that brings my question, Rich. DeMarcus Lawrence, he's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Does that mean Dallas does the same with their GM?
Oh, well, let's run that up the flagpole. Oh, no, there it is, up the flagpole. No, that's not it. See, I was able to sneak that in before the end of the hour.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.